Welcome, everyone, to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. The Lord has really blessed us with some amazing weather. I couldn't believe how nice it was yesterday. I feel like it's springtime, but I don't think that's going to last very long, but I'll enjoy it while it's here. A couple announcements today. Reminder for people who have financial reports that are due, so please get your financial reports prepared and give them to either Carol Kane or Lynn Love so we can have our spring congregational meeting at one point and have our financial review. Another very important announcement is for all the women of the church that after services next week, there's going to be a women's association meeting after the church so they can elect a president. So that's very important. We don't have a nursery worker today. I don't know, if is there a new church today or not? No, that's fine. You're prepared? Okay. After the children's summer. Okay, that's great. The other thing I want to mention is we've got Bruce back today, and Bruce is very energetic. I really loved his service last week, and I really loved his benediction.
Thank you.
And I know that we're going to have another very energetic service today with Bruce, and we want to thank him for being here today and next week. And yesterday, our new interim pastor arrived in Pittsburgh. He drove his budget rental truck in his car behind him for 10 hours of driving down to Pittsburgh. And Mike Love, Lynn Love, Sean, and myself helped him unload into his apartment up in the club at North Hills. And we also brought a small part of his collection, which is a lot of books, up to his office. He tells me he's got 6,000 books, so I'm glad we didn't have to move all those yet. So Dave is going to be giving his first service here on Super Bowl Sunday, the 5th of March. So we look forward to having everyone here for that. Let's see if there's anything else I'm missing. Oh, your friend today is Carol. Carol in the back is handing out all the information for all the money you paid for last year and making sure that if you haven't gotten your envelopes for next year, please do that. So if you haven't seen Carol, Carol will come see you, but come see her so she doesn't have to run around so much. So I think that covers everything for today. We do have another participatory call to worship, and I'll make sure that that screen's up there. With that, I will turn over to Bruce.
Again, I must reiterate that it is my honor to be with you here this morning and a privilege to lead you in worship, but it's also a joy. It's nice to be here. You guys make me feel awfully welcomed, and that is a joy for me. You have a wonderful church and lots of really nice people, and I would encourage you through your time of transition to use it wisely and well and to grow and to continue to discern what it is that God wants from you and how it is that you need to go about doing it. And then go about doing it because it makes it also worthwhile. So revelatory. Well, downright encouraging. So join me, please, in our responsive call to worship that you will find on display. I'll do leader and you guys do people, and then we'll together make a beginning glorious noise to the Lord. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. Cast all your anxieties upon the Lord because the Lord cares about you. Let us now worship the God who loves us all. Let us rise and sing together our first hymn, which is entitled, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. It too will be on the screen. Thank you. think we're all supposed to remain standing for the prayer of confession, but if standing's hard, please stay seated. God hears our prayers whether we're standing, seated, or kneeling. Psalm 91 says this: "Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation." Let us now all together confess our sin before Almighty God, praying together our prayer of confession, which you will find on the second page of your bulletin this morning. Let us pray. Almighty God, in Jesus Christ, you set the example for us to follow. He was a person of prayer. Forgive us the many times we have forgotten to talk with you, the many times we have not sought your will, the many times we have neglected to pass through the doors you have opened for us. Have mercy upon us, O Lord, and forgive our sin. Help us to become a people who ask and seek and knock, so that we might receive and find and pass through the doors open for us. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us now continue our prayer of confession in the silence of our own hearts as we offer up to God those sins that cling so close. Amen. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Christ we are forgiven.
We believe in the forgiveness of sins. We are saved by grace through faith. This is God's gift in Jesus Christ.
Now confess what we believe in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He is dead in hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Oh. Let's greet.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys today?
Good.
Can you all hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. Church is a real important thing in my life, and I really appreciate my church family. These people are just as much my family as sister up in the loft. And I really, really love that whenever something is happy in my life, that they celebrate with me. Appreciate when I'm not feeling so happy, when I'm kind of sad, or like today when I'm not feeling 100%, that they understand and they are really kind and they will pray for me. Do you know what a prayer is?
It's like something that you're talking to God, pretty much.
That's it means that we can have a conversation with God no matter where we are or what we do. And it's pretty fun. When I used to work, I used to have a long way to ride to work. And sometimes I would talk to God when I was driving because it calmed me down in traffic. Because that was something that always made me just a little bit nervous. So it always helped me to talk to God. And I think that that's really important, that you all be able to talk to God no matter where you are. If you're happy or sad, or if you're not feeling good, or above all, I think sometimes we forget to say thank you to God. So today I would like to go through and say something that you really like and would like to thank God for. Do you have something you want to say thank you for? You can think on that, okay?
For my family.
For your family, good.
My papa.
Yeah. My family.
Your family. Sean? What are you thankful for?
My family, too.
Your family,
too. Okay. Well, all I want you to remember is that I know that your mom and dads and grandmas and grandpaps are out there, and that's a wonderful thing. But I also want you to remember that this church is also your family, and they love you just as much. And I just want you to know that we all pray for each other in this church because we are a family. Okay? All right, so let's pray right now. Thank you, dear God, so much for these wonderful, wonderful children, because someday they will be the adults in this church, and they will understand even more how much a family means and how much prayer means and that connection with you and your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you. You know, it's every week they come together and practice and sing, and choirs add a dimension to worship that can be found in no other way. In fact, most pastors, if you ask them, they'll tell you the truth, that they covet the ability that the sung word has always and forever over the spoken word. It just makes a big difference, and we are very grateful for what you do for all of us.
We have a number of prayer and praise requests today. First prayer request comes from Paul and Bev Ruby. Their daughter, Deborah Wigan, in Canada, is in some severe hip pain, and she's in the hospital, so pray for her. Next is Kathy Peluso from Jim Eichner. This is a friend and a neighbor. She's been in and out of a Passavant. She's in the Cleveland Clinic for 2 weeks. And she's staying at Vincennes. She's having a couple hernia operations, so keep her in your prayers. Next is a prayer request from Kathy Sagey for Vi Dugan and Chester Rucci. Vi's in the hospital with congestive heart failure, and prayer for a quick recovery. Chester's in the hospital for prostate issues and breathing problems. Prayer for a quick recovery also. And also, Kathy has a praise request that her son Michael has passed his driving test this past week, despite many obstacles. Pray also the Lord keeps both my new drivers safe. So please be safe. And finally, a praise request from Mabe on the passing of her sister, June. Thank you for all the kindness regarding the passing of my sister, and prayers for my grandson, David, who's not doing well. So please keep all these prayer requests and concerns in your heart.
As the Bible says, the prayers of a good person accomplishes much. Together, let us pray. Gracious God, you know and love us all. You understand the machinations of our hearts and the dreams and desires of our life. So we thank you, gracious God, for your loving keeping, for your wisdom that leads us through the murky waters and out the other side. We thank you for those who would walk with us and see us through. We thank you, O Lord God, that your word comes to us in Scripture and that you are present with us each and every time we pray. Thank you for the magnificence of the privilege of being in your presence. Hear our prayers this day, O Lord God, as we move from one president to the next, to a new political landscape, and pray, O Lord God, that our leaders may be blessed with wisdom, that they may say and do the right things at just the right time to serve the greatest number of people in the best ways possible. We pray for this great land in which we live. May it continue to grow within the ideals with which it was created and continue to be a government by the people and for the people. May we grow together, Lord, as a people, to reflect that which is good and great and excellent in our world. We pray, too, also this day for the Church Presbyterian and for our churches around the world. May they show forth your love in a way that others may see it and understand it and respond to it appropriately. May others come to believe in the name of Jesus and live according to his ways. May the kingdom come in and be present in such a way that all the world can know and understand. Oh, gracious God, hear our special prayers today. We give thanks and praise for your kindness, and we pray for all the kindnesses that we continue to do as a church and ministry to each other. May we continue to do that in such a way that it causes many grateful thanks. We pray too, O Lord God, with great joy that Michael has passed his driving test, and we thank you that he continues to drive safely along with the other drivers in his family. We give you most gracious thanks that we have children who are part of our life and our ministry. May we be good for them. May we teach them and may they teach us well. We pray, O Lord God, for cousins who are dealing with all kinds of different issues. May their recoveries be quick and may their breathing problems end. O gracious God, our Father, we pray too in thanksgiving for that which makes a difference. For those moments where people say and do just the right things in ways that change our attitude and help us to become all the better for it. We ask your prayers for Kathy and her upcoming surgery. May it go well, everything be repaired, and her swiftly back home with her family and her friends. Oh, gracious God, watch after us all in the journeys that we take to the places that we must go. Hear our prayers for Deborah, who's undergoing hip surgery in the hospital. May that be something wonderful. May it be over quick, and may they be home and at peace. We also ask you, Lord God, to hear the unspoken prayers of your people, for the prayers that have been missed along the way, for those who are in nursing homes and hospital beds that we are unaware of. We pray simply that your comfort be with them, that your strength and courage will become their strength and courage, and that you will see them through whatever lies before them, that they may assume it with dignity and decorum, and in a way that would make us all as Christian people proud for each other. Lastly, O Lord God, we pray for this particular church, the Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, for its church family, for its new interim pastor coming, and may this church be richly blessed with your presence and its power. Show them the way to go. Open up that they may see your vision for the future. Help them to abide within it and to build it. And may this church become a lighthouse, a center, a place where people come to find the risen and reigning Christ and the kingdom that he brings. We ask all this in his name, the very same who taught each and every one of us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. In the Bible, it says that we are to give to the Lord as the Lord has given to us, and that we are to make up our own minds and not do it under coercion, because God loves a cheerful giver. As we take our offering this morning, I would encourage all of you to give until you're cheerful. This morning's tithes and offerings will now be received. Take these gifts that we bring to give to you, and so bless them, that they may bear fruit 100-fold for your kingdom. And do likewise with each of us in our own lives, that we may prove our faith by how we live. In Christ our Lord. Amen.
The scripture lesson is from Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. I imagine some of it near the first few verses will sound very familiar to you. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us how to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Pray with me. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, take these very human words, and by the power and presence of your Spirit, transform them into your word to us this day. May we hear, understand, and obey. In Christ our Lord. Amen. Of all those resources that are available for those who would follow Jesus, I believe the number one most neglected resource is prayer. You know, you and I live in a hurried, action-oriented world. A world that focuses on outcomes and results rather than introspection and reflection. Thoughtful, personal, looking inside, as well as considering the future outcomes of practices and behaviors have become almost non-practiced. Because you see, the demands on the to-do list seem to be infinite in number and growing each and every day. Prayer, on the other hand, slows the world down. It takes you outside of yourself and ushers you directly into the presence and the power of Almighty God. It is a singular act of intimacy between you and your Creator, and it connects us in ways that nothing else in all the world can. But so often, we Presbyterians tend to keep it for foxholes and crises and moments when we're afraid and sad and lost and lonely, instead of the times when we are filled with courage and strength. So the big question for this morning is very simple. It is the one that Corrie ten Boom asked. Is prayer your steering wheel, or is it your spare tire? I remember not very long ago, it seems, that we were coming back from Orlando, and our Disney vacation that you all have to take with your children. And I made it all the way to Cincinnati, and the group was getting grumpy because we were driving straight home. And we blew out the left rear tire. Now, I handled this with great effectiveness, pulled it off to the shoulder on the side of the road, immediately called AAA on my flip phone, okay, and found out it was going to take them an hour and a half to get there. So I decided to change the tire myself. Not a problem. I can do this. Got everybody out of the car, got them onto the side of the road. I went into the trunk, pulled up the rug, pulled up the thing that went over the top, and what did I find? No, I found this thing called a donut. All right, a donut. What in the world is a donut? On it, it said specifically in big letters, do not drive with this tire over 55 miles an hour. Well, I had that tire on in no time. And do you think I was going to go 55 from Cincinnati to Pittsburgh? No. And every time I went over 55, that car would do this. And so I drove 55, and it was a real, what would I say? The grumps got grumpier, including all of them and me. And I think the worst of it was I kept being passed by every RV and tractor trailer on the highway. Oh Lord, that was painful, I assure you. So I ask you once again, is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Granted, the lack of time, the constant demands, you can let that get to you. And eventually prayer becomes an optional recreational activity that you pursue in your leisure instead of a personal discipline that you practice on a day-by-day basis. Navigating the complex and confusing world of the 21st century is hard enough, but without prayer, it makes it 10 times more difficult, and it puts God on the sidelines. Sometimes, and I understand this, sometimes when you try to pray, it feels like you are babbling to yourself or talking into the air. I mean, sometimes it feels like it's not doing anything at all, and you wonder why you're doing it in the first place. I mean, hasn't anybody told you, listen, God knows everything. Why do you need to pray? He's got it all figured out. He's going to do whatever he wants anyway. I've heard that before, and I'm here to tell you that is not true. If you read in the scriptures, you'll notice that the result of prayer changed events, lives were altered, new possibilities appeared that were unthought of before. Jesus said it quite plainly, ask and it shall be given God, you see, is a great respecter of human freedom. He made us in his image and in his likeness. He put his divine spark within us, and he created us as autonomous beings. God will never force you to do anything. God won't act unless you ask. John Wesley said it so well when he said, God does nothing except in response to believing prayer. God cannot and will not possess you like something evil. Even if you pray and God gives you his wisdom, you are the one in the end that must decide. That is the way God made us. Because, you see, no one can ever love anyone who isn't totally and radically free to not love the one who loves them. That is the risk of, in actual fact, loving another person. And prayer just fits inside the loop of God's love for all of us. In his infinite wisdom, God can and will do the things that we ask of God, but will not interfere with your freedom and your free will. If you do not ask, it cannot be given. And as was his custom, Jesus prayed regularly and often, sometimes alone, sometimes with his disciples, sometimes before meals, and sometimes just with a few others. His example is the example that you and I need to follow. He was very keen on prayer, and when times got the busiest, and where times were at its worst, that's where you would have found him, solidly on his knees, praying to the Father. He taught his disciples how to pray because John was teaching theirs in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer, was the result. Jesus even shared parables about prayer. In the classic Jewish teaching method of his day, when one person would talk for hours to a group of other people, the bottom line is they used different techniques in order to help people pay attention. And one of them was classic Jewish hyperbole, which means you exaggerate things. You stretch them out a little bit, and then you make the real and right point as part of the story, but the story is it's so exaggerated and embellished that it makes people smile. That's what Jesus was doing about the inopportune neighbor in our reading this morning. For the neighbor comes by at a very bad time, in the middle of the night. He has guests that have come. He doesn't have any bread. He goes to his neighbor, knocks on the door, and says, "Wake up and get me some bread." Where his neighbor says, "No, go away and don't bother me." But because he keeps knocking, his friend and his neighbor comes down, brings the bread, gives it to him, and the inopportune neighbor then goes ahead and shares with his friend who has arrived late. Jesus also taught another parable, this one about an unjust judge and a widow that had a complaint. She went to him, he wouldn't even hear her. But you know what she did? Being the wise woman that she was, she just kept coming back. In fact, she wore him out with his coming and goings, until finally the judge, just to get rid of her, goes ahead and rules in her favor. And that's where Luke sums it all up and says, this was Jesus teaching us to pray and never to give up. I know we Presbyterians, prayer is difficult for us and awkward. We always feel like it's embarrassing because we don't know how to do it very well. Like, for instance, if I asked you right now, please raise your hand if you would like to come up after the sermon is over and pray for all of us in this congregation. Now, I want everybody who's willing, because I might just do this, how many people would be willing to come and pray for the whole congregation after the sermon's over? Okay, so we've got a couple people that would do that, but that's only because they're convicted, not because they want to. You know what I mean? But we Presbyterians are like this. public prayer and all that kinds of things, I mean, let me tell you how I pray. And maybe that'll be helpful. It's a very simple thing. I invite the Lord God to come in and sit down at the chair. I pretend like he's right here with me, and then I sit beside him, right next to him, and I chat with him about the things that matter to me. About my life, about my concerns, about the stupid things I've done this week, the people's toes I've tramped on. I talk about how wonderful he is and the wonderful things he's done in my life. And you know what? I pray for lots of other people in my life. It doesn't take forever. Do it in the morning or the evening. That seems to be the best time, right before you go to bed or just after you get up. You can use devotionals. They help. They're wonderful. They help to keep us focused. And yes, sometimes your prayers are not going to be answered. And you know what? That's okay, too. Garth Brooks, who didn't live too far away from me when I lived in Enid, Oklahoma, he said, "Sometimes I thank God for unanswered prayers. Remember when you're talking to the man upstairs that just because he doesn't answer doesn't mean he don't care. Some of God's greatest gifts are unanswered prayers." Well, you know that, and I know that. I can remember when my daughter was about 3 years old. She had a love affair with that little blue flame on the gas stove, or in Scotland, they called it a cooker. And we kept trying to talk her out of it. We told her it was hot. We put her hand up next to it. We did everything that we could do. In fact, I finally got to a point where she was so close that I gave her hand a whack, which I was loath to do. It still didn't stop her. And she just went ahead and finally did it. She got a little burn on her finger. But you know what? She never went and stuck her finger in the flame again. Now, I could have saved her all that, just like the Lord could have saved us 1,000 times from our own foolishness and our own stupidity if we would have offered up our prayers and listened to what God was saying to us. But the bottom line is, prayer isn't always getting what we want. It is discovering what we need. So we need to ask, and we need to seek, and we need to keep on blocking, even though it doesn't seem to be working at the moment. Be persistent. Like the inopportune friend or the persistent widow, the bottom line is God's timing is always impeccable and will be. The only dilemma is we have to be the ones that are patient. I remember knowing that my call at the St. Andrew's UP Church in Butler had come to an end. I knew that in my heart. It was time for me to move on. It was time for them to have a new pastor. But I didn't know where to go next. And I'd been through the process, and I'd been invited to go be a pastor at a church and said no. And I wanted to become the pastor of a couple other churches who said no to me. But the bottom line was I got an interesting phone interview, a request to come out, and then an offer from a church in, of all places, Enid, Oklahoma. Who knows where Enid, Oklahoma is? I didn't. But they were certainly keen on me, but I wasn't keen on going to Oklahoma. And I prayed and prayed, and I said, "Lord, here's the bottom line. If you tell me you want me there, I will go." And I'm sitting in traffic. And right in front of me, we're turning left to get on to Main Street in Butler. I turn to go on in Main Street in Butler, and in front of me is an old Subaru, no, an old Suburban, typical of what they drive in Oklahoma, rusted out on the bottom. On the back of the license plate, which was Oklahoma license plate, was this tourist thing that said, "You gotta go to Oklahoma." You got to go to Oklahoma. I went ahead and told my wife, "I don't want to go to Oklahoma, but I have to go to Oklahoma because this license plate said me." She starts giggling and laughing and says, "Well, I guess we ought to get packed." So I invite you, my friends, let prayer become your steering wheel instead of your spare tire, and it'll make all the difference, both for now and forevermore. Amen. Let's rise and we'll sing together our hymn of response, which is 582, Glory to God whose goodness shines on me. Each of us, for now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen.